Hello, hello to the podcast Agroecology World and this ninth episode. This is your host, Rob Clouson, a.k.a. Dr. K, and welcome again to this podcast that's celebrating the global scope and promise of agroecology. And yes, this podcast is still being made while I'm on world travels with my wife, Skye. Now, we are so fortunate to spend some time in the beautiful island country of Cyprus. As with our recent travels to the countries of Southeast Asia, our stay and experiences in Cyprus is our entry to the fascinating history and peoples of ancient cultures facing issues of modern times. In this instance, we're stepping into the Mediterranean world. In addition, it's the beginning of my exploration of agroecology in Europe. For sure, this stop is my agroecologist happy nomad dream come true. Haha. As always, I want to explain that the intention of my podcast is to share with you some of my meetings with outstanding practitioners and communities of agroecology and sustainable food systems in the fascinating countries that we're visiting. My goal for this podcast is to introduce you to the actual folks and places so that you can learn from their own voices of their ideas and experiences, keeping it informal but informative and light but enlightening. I'm very excited about this particular episode for a couple of reasons. First, it highlights the critical aspects of the science of agroecology based on sustainable natural resource management. And second, it affords the opportunity to begin to explore the concept of food sovereignty and its importance to the agroecology movement. This episode features an interview with the grassroots organization, Friends of the Earth Cyprus, that is part of the worldwide environmental network of Friends of the Earth International. In my past career as a sustainable agriculture natural resource extension agent at the University of Florida in the USA, I was very much focused on demonstrating how the agroecology approach can serve as the bridge that unites agriculture and environmental movements and organizations in the critical work required for sustainable development to benefit present and future generations. To this end, both natural resource management and food sovereignty were key concepts and practices that I taught in my extension programs. Now, before we jump into this episode, I want to provide you with some background information about these topics, as well as our featured guest, the Friends of the Earth Cyprus. Agroecology is the study of ecological structure and processes that operate in agriculture and food systems that are defined as multi-component systems, including the environment and social aspects, as much as the economics and crop yields. It can trace its origins, therefore, in the disciplines of ecology and sociology, as well as production agriculture. Agroecology provides the scientific basis to design and manage sustainable agroecosystems. Just as one can refer to the value of ecosystem services on a landscape level, so can one document the value of agroecosystem services to farm productivity and to society in general. Therefore, one of the key principles of agroecology is the management of natural resources on temporal and spatial scales. If you haven't done so already, you may want to listen to my episode number 8 of this podcast, which included the topic of biodiversity conservation, for example, seed saving, as one example of natural resource management for sustainable agroecosystems. Agroecology draws many insights from the science of ecosystems for application to agroecosystems and food systems. For example, the concept of resiliency describes the persistence of natural systems in the face of changes in ecosystem variables due to natural or anthropogenic causes. In agroecology, best practices for resiliency strive to develop the capacity of farmers and communities to anticipate, prepare for, and adapt to changing conditions and withstand, respond to, and recover rapidly from a diversity of shocks and stresses to their growing environment, social structures, and food economies. Food sovereignty is a concept championed by the International Peasant Organization, La Via Campesina, for over 25 years. Unlike food security, often defined as ensuring people have enough to eat, food sovereignty zeroes in on questions of power and control in the face of multinational corporate and industrial agriculture threats and disturbances. In a sense, La Via Campesina educates and organizes small food producers and communities in the capacity of resilience, especially with their political agroecology movement for the transformation of global food systems. Quoting La Via Campesina, "The destruction of our world through overexploitation and dispossession of people and the appropriation of natural resources is resulting in the current climate crisis and deep inequalities which endanger humankind and life itself." Friends of the Earth is the world's largest environmental organization, with international and national members and groups, such as our featured guest, Friends of the Earth Cyprus. Friends of the Earth was founded in 1969 in San Francisco, USA, by David Brower, who is a prominent environmental activist who understood the connections of factors of society and economics in the protection of natural resources. It was expanded to Friends of the Earth International in 1971 by four groups from France, Sweden, England, and the USA. Agroecology is embraced in their mission based on their holistic understanding of the scope and impacts of global food systems on the environment. Their 2018 publication, entitled Agroecology, Innovating for Sustainable Food Systems and Agriculture, includes the following conclusions. 1. A systemic change of our food and agriculture systems based on innovations in agroecology is required to address the impacts of industrial food production that contributes heavily towards climate change, environmental degradation, and the depletion of natural resources. And in so doing, it erodes the very basis of agriculture. 2. A growing body of scientific evidence shows that agroecology innovations and practices are technically feasible, affordable, politically, socially, and culturally acceptable, adaptable to local conditions and circumstances, and they are environmentally sound. 3. False solutions, for example, climate smart agriculture and sustainable intensification, must be prevented from dominating policy agendas because they do not alter the power structure of the industrial food system. Instead of feeding the world in a healthy and sustainable way, these agribusiness-spurred innovations are part of a business-as-usual approach that will only deepen the agri-food crisis, jeopardizing the livelihoods of urban and rural peoples, particularly workers and small-scale food producers around the world. The projects of Friends of the Earth include, but are not limited to, the following. 1. Political activism for transformation to achieve sustainability and equity among societies. 2. Education to raise awareness and build alliances. 3. Defense of human rights. 4. Nurture the Earth's ecological and cultural diversity. 5. participatory decision-making by empowering Indigenous peoples, communities, and women. Friends of the Earth Cyprus, our guest for this episode, was established in 1980. Agroecology-based projects support their goal to raise awareness on the importance of preserving the natural environment and to campaign for solutions to environmental and social problems by promoting sustainable policies. After a short musical interlude, we will listen to my conversations with two of the staff of the Friends of the Earth Cyprus. That is the project manager, Efrosini Antonio, and the communications manager, Marissa Vrionidi. The Friends of the Earth Cyprus office is located in the city of Limassol on the southern coast of Cyprus, and I was able to visit it with my wife in early August 2019. Hello, hello. Welcome to this episode of the podcast, Agroecology World. This is your host, Rob Clouson, a.k.a. Dr. K, and I'm sharing with you the voices of the people and places that are implementing more sustainable food systems using ecology-based best practices and community-based approaches. Today, my travels have taken me to the country of Cyprus and the city of Limassol. I'm sitting with the fine folks of the organization Friends of the Earth Cyprus at their location in the city of Limassol. I'm talking to Efrosini Antonio, a project coordinator for this organization, and Marissa Vrionidi, who is heading a project about plastic waste in Cyprus. So to start off, I want to ask Efrosini maybe to give us an overview of the Friends of the Earth Cyprus in terms of what your goals are, the people that are involved. Doesn't have to be very, very detailed, but just kind of give our listeners an overview of what the organization's about.
Thank you for the chance you give us to introduce our organization to your audience. The first is that as Friends of the Earth Cyprus, we started our work in Cyprus in 1993 or even before, but we settled this organization in 1993 in the city of Limassol. But we have we act in all the cities of Cyprus. We are a member of Friends of the Earth Europe and Friends of the Earth International. And we are a member of European Environmental Bureau and Zero Waste Europe. These organizations help us to implement our work and have international connections. But we are a grassroots organization. We are dealing with environmental issues and agro-environmental issues during all these years that we are we settled as an organization. Our main goals is to educate the citizens of Cyprus and raise their awareness about environmental and agricultural issues. That's the main goal. And we are also trying to change policies regarding those subjects. Thank you.
Okay. Marissa, would you like to tell us a little bit about your role with this organization?
First of all, hello. So I work as an intern to this organization. I started as a volunteer, and at the moment I'm a communications officer. So I work on social media of the organization, and I also I'm helping Efrosini with the project, which is about plastic pollution in Cyprus, which is a huge problem. And we were trying to implement the laws that should be happening in Cyprus by performing some advocacy actions and some basic cleanups, or, you know, informing citizens about the problem. So basically making people aware of how big the problem is in Cyprus. So yeah, that's me. Thank you.
Okay, all right, very good. I guess a little bit more about your organization. Now, you did mention that you're part of Friends of the Earth Europe and Friends of the Earth International. And I know Friends of the Earth as one of the, if not the largest environmental group worldwide that's been addressing so many kinds of environmental issues, but issues that their connection to the social issues and the economic issues for decades. And so that's a great affiliation to have. But here in Cyprus, what is the core group of people that you're working with? Are they university people? Are they community activists? What kind of network do you have that is helping this organization do good things?
We are mainly based in our members that are part of the society, civil society. We are trying to cooperate with universities, and we start cooperations actually, and with other local groups that are dealing with environmental issues, especially for ecosystems, and especially to protect these ecosystems from the threats that we have here. We cooperate with other environmental organizations, because these issues are bigger than us, and we really have to cooperate with every stakeholder and every organization that want to save these ecosystems, and this is what we do. We also have our group of young people. We call them Young Friends of the Earth Cyprus, and it's a part of our organization. And we are trying to get some projects to help to make them involved in the purpose of our organization. And we also give them some space to act in the things that they really want to focus on and they consider as important in Cyprus to have a work on it. So it's civil society mainly, but we also trying to attract corporations with universities and other organizations and youth a lot. So this is how we act.
Very good.
We don't have issues because we are a project-based organization. So we are really based in our volunteers, because if we don't have any project, we don't have actually people to work here. So yes, it's really important for us to keep the people that they are really interested in our work to get involved.
Fantastic. Now, we're all aware that there's a large number of issues that societies are facing these days. And just kind of curious about the situation in Cyprus. Which are the most pressing issues that your organization has identified, and you've got the core group or your community of people with the kind of skills to help you address. What's the history of the projects, types of projects that your group has tackled and is tackling? Particularly, when did agroecology come into the picture as one of the solutions that your group wants to use?
Well, as an organization, we start our action because we wanted to protect Agamas Peninsula in Cyprus. It's a natural area that we still we are trying to protect this area, or force the politicians to save this area. It's a Natura area, and we are trying to influence the politicians and the citizens to take an action, and we're still working on it. The agroecology came into our work 10 years ago, and we started taking some projects with agroecology, but we consider it as a really important issue because every country should sustain their populations from their production of food. We are a small island, we have restricted resources and to provide our food, to produce our food actually, not to provide it. And we understand that without a sustainable food production, this is not gonna happen. We start getting projects about food sustainability, and we are trying to bring people that they want to see more better solutions in food production. We are trying to get them involved in our project. We also consider really important for the young people to start understanding where their food is coming from, where their food is coming, to make them understand how this food is produced and to know their producer, and also give voice to the producers, to the young producers, and have and make them have more power in the decision making. This is our work, and we are now running a project called Growing Together, and it's mainly about food sovereignty issues, which it's like to give the power to the people producing the food, and also to the people consuming the food, to know more and to have rights on their food.
Well, that's interesting, because that also was a posting on your Facebook that mm-hmm. caught my attention. Was just in last June, you had an international training center, a training program, and I believe the name of it was Bringing Positive Change to Food Sovereignty Issues with Policy Framework at National and European Levels. And that really is a soft spot for me too, because in my previous profession, I was helping my local community also learn about how to make policy. Policy too often is left in the hands of policymakers and not really encouraging the public to participate as fully as they should. And I'm just really, really happy to hear that you've got a priority in getting the youth and the younger generation involved. And like in Florida, where I was we would help set up food policy councils. And this is a concept where you can bring it down to the municipality level, the community level, as well as maybe province level, that helped educate the public on just how their government works, who's making the decisions. And so glad to hear that you're also training people about how it's done, both here in Cyprus and in Europe, and nationally. And it was an international group of youth that came to this training, right?
There were people from 10 European countries that they came in this training. It was under the project Growing Together. So we got this funding from the European Union to have this training over here. And our partners were mainly from Estonia, Malta, Ireland, Cyprus, and mainly, and Austria. Yes, I forgot Austria.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a big group.
All right.
Yes, it's a big group. Yes, these people came here, and we had the opportunity also to have people here from La Vía Campesina.
Oh, yes.
Do you know more about La Vía Campesina?
Yes.
It's the biggest
food sovereignty. They were the ones that really, I think, taught all of us about food sovereignty is an issue. Yes.
And they actually make a lot of work about agroecology, and they're really trying to change policy making about this issue globally, even in the UN or even in European Union level. And they're trying to change also the conditions that the farmers have, so to make better their lives for smaller and bigger farmers. And we really had the opportunity to have them here and listen from their experience, because I think that we are lacking the experience for policymaking in such issues, in environmental and agro-environmental issues in Cyprus. So we need somebody with more experience than us to come and teach us, and also to make younger people to understand that they have the power to act, and if they act, they may change things. The change never comes really easy and really fast, but they have to gain this knowledge and start acting this way.
Now, I also noticed on your website that you have a whole host of projects very broad, from actual agroecology to art, different kinds of art festivals, music, as well as, I think, health and wellness projects. And I'm wondering, now, when you get into tackling so many of these issues, food or not food-related issues, that you then identify even more needs that your community has. And just wondering, what are some of the upcoming, the new issues you've been identifying? Maybe it's the plastics that you're now having to think about bringing in more, make more connections, like the way you did with Via Campesino for policy making. Are you thinking about other groups that you want to get involved with, some of these I call them opportunities that your group now needs to kind of grow its membership, you know, bring in people with some new job skills? Can you think, are there topics like that come to mind?
There are more topics coming up all the time. I mean, all the time we have new topics here. So I can say some of the topics is the urban green and the climate resilient cities. other topics now, local topics is a high-rise building that the city cannot afford them. I mean, not afford them, but I mean the city constructions and the way that the city is built cannot sustain all these huge buildings and the, yeah, and these kind of things. And the mobility, it's an issue because we don't have a really good public transport. And of course, it's not only the public, the plastic pollution, it's always the it's also the waste management in Cyprus that we really have a huge issue. It's I mean, more than 70% is ending up in landfills, and now some of the landfills close because we really should have done that some years ago. And now as people start dumping outside in the nature, so I mean the waste issue, it's even bigger than the plastic issue in Cyprus. And these are few of the things that we have to deal with these days. We also have, I don't want to leave agroecology back, because it's like we are listening now to the young people living in the rural areas, and they are telling us more about their problems, like the people are moving into the cities and it's their urbanization, so they don't have the facilities that they used to have, like schools for sending their children there, or other helping structures in the mountains. And we have to see more social aspects of their lives. It's not just the production of the food, it's how they build their, how they can stay in their areas. It's the land grabbing, it's for tourism or for other investments. And also the water scarcity issues that we will have, and the climate change issues we will face and we face in Cyprus. We also support Fridays for Future and the youth that is striking for climate change. These are some of the aspects that we are dealing with, and some of the issues that we see that the society is really ready to act.
To say the least, you have a lot to keep you busy.
And we are trying to bring people to work for us. We are always writing some projects so we can have more people helping us here. But as I said, because we are project-based, we really have to give some salary to these people to have a project. Otherwise, we just need volunteers for it.
Well, that's a perfect lead into how maybe we can wrap up our conversation today, is maybe explain the different ways people can support, participate, also learn about your projects and the activities that you're doing. I know a lot of my listeners are not from Cyprus, and but yet they could possibly come here and intern and all those things. So if you don't mind, maybe go over some of those ways that they can help, as well as specific projects that are going on. Give them some ideas on how you'd love to have somebody come here and be able to do this or that.
So we were thinking how to attract more people here, and then we found Marisa, that she has really good communication skills, and she's really good in the social media. And we were lacking of this skill, yes. So it was really good that we had Marisa. And now we are getting some emails from people that they want to make some videos for us to promote our work, because they consider it as really important, and because we are really trying to do all this job and the administration job. Sometimes we want people with soft skills here to help us, like put us in social media, make our work really visible, help us in our cleanups that we are organizing, or help us in other festivals and events that we do. I mean, everybody can offer from the skills that they have. We are approaching simple people or educated people, and I think that everybody can help us. We are open to the civil society, to people that they want to help us in this situation. Yeah.
Okay. Marissa, do you have any specifics you would like to share?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that we try to keep updated our projects now on social media, and we give many advices to people. So with articles, we promote good practices around the world. So it would be nice if someone from your listeners could send us some examples that they see around the world in their cities, and let us know, and we can share it, of course. And especially for my project, which is about illegal dumping and plastic pollution, I'm sure that there are so many good practices that they could share with us. And what else? Yeah, we're always open for, you can be a member of Friends Over Cyprus, and whenever you come to Cyprus, our office and our premises are always open, just to grab a coffee, just to sit in our backyard, put something in our compost. Yeah, we're always open, and we're very glad to see, to meet new people and listen to their stories. So thank you.
Well, I too want to chime in. This is a beautiful country, and I've been here just a little bit more than 2 weeks, and hoping to see a lot more of it. So now, I also want to give you an opportunity. You know, organizations have a growth, and thinking down the road, 5 years, maybe 10 years. If I know you probably do this with your board of directors or something, you know, and you're trying to anticipate things or try to stay ahead of the curve a little bit. Do you want to share any future steps or future directions that you see your organization going towards, which maybe just in the planning stage now, but you see where this may be something that you can see your projects and your efforts going towards?
Well, we want to grow as an organization, and we think that now is the time, because more and more people realize how important it is to be more sustainable, and how important it is to protect our environment, and how important it is to take care about our food and food security. So I think that now it's the time to bring more people in. We want to give voice and place to the people to do their own projects. And we started now, but we want to see more of it, like to keep open this space for civil initiations, so they can come here and try to do something that they're really interested and be really good. We want to grow as organization as well, so we want to make more to take some more projects and like this. And we also want to make more cooperations internationally and here in Cyprus locally. This is how we see it, and we want to exist in five years period, or being stronger than we are.
Very good, yes. Well, thank you so much, Efroncini and Marissa, for spending some time with us to get to learn about what you're doing here and who you're doing it with, and wish you the best success possible in the present and the future. So,
thank you as well.
After a short musical interlude, I will be back with information on how to contact Friends of the Earth Cyprus if you have if you're seeking more detailed information about what they're doing, as well as just to generally contact them. Well, there you have it, my conversation with Efroncini and Marissa of Friends of the Earth Cyprus in Limassol, done when my wife Skye and I visited the lovely island country of Cyprus. I hope that you found it as informative and inspiring as I did. If you want further information about and to contact Friends of the Earth Cyprus, please check out their Facebook webpage and their website, https://www.foecyprus.org. I also want to encourage you to visit these websites to dig deeper into the topics of this episode. One, Friends of the Earth International, https://www.foei.org, and La Via Campesina, https://viacampesina.org. And last but not least, I again want to acknowledge the artists of my theme music selections for this episode of Agroecology World. That is the song Once Again by the group Hang Massive, and the song Everyone Sleeps in the Light by Joaquin Cooter. As mentioned in episodes 7 and 8, a footnote to this acknowledgement is necessary because my theme music selections are only heard on the Anchor website of my podcast. Sorry, but I do not control this feature on the other providers of my podcast. While not essential to the content of my podcast, I do hope that you may consider listening to my podcast on the Anchor website too, in order to enjoy the segments of this enjoyable music as part of my episodes. Happy trails until we meet again at my next episode of Agroecology World from another stop in my upcoming travels in Europe. Once again, I really want to express my appreciation to everyone's efforts in becoming regular listeners and spreading the word about the Agroecology World podcast to your friends. Your participation as an active listener is helping me achieve the goal for starting my podcast since I retired and started my world travels with my wife, Skye, and that is to become a contributor in my own small way to the free exchange of ideas and contact information for worldwide groups that are leading the transition to agroecology and sustainable community food systems. Peace.